Okay, I think we can get started. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this new session of the academic track of the conference. My name is Marco Minghini. I work at the Joint Research Center of the European Commission. I'm happy to be the chair of this session. We will have three very interesting presentations. All of them will be about OpenStreetMap, so we will see a first talk actually given by me and my colleague, Alexander Kotsev, and then two other interesting talks about applications of OpenStreetMap. So I will now basically introduce the first speakers again, myself and Alex. We will be happy to give this talk about comparison between Inspire and OpenStreetMap data and to start a discussion on how we can make the most out of the two worlds. The starting point of this is the acknowledgement of the dramatic changes occurred over the last few decades in the way geospatial information is produced, is accessed, and exchanged. We all know that until the last century, basically mapping and management of geospatial data was a prerogative of professionals and national mapping agencies. But then we have these two revolutionary terms coined. In 1994, the concept of SDI, introduced in an executive order of the then US President Clinton. And in 2007, Professor Michael Goodchild introduced the very fortunate term VGI, or Volunteer Geographic Information. What's the difference? Very obvious. So SDIs are usually driven by governments or NMAs. They are usually based on OGC standards, which began to appear at the end of last century. VGI means project where data is collected by people. This was made possible by a set of technological advancements, mobile devices, Web 2.0, open access to satellite imagery, and so on. And I think most of you are academics, so you really know how huge is the diffusion of VGI projects in a number of disciplines. So in this context, we decided to focus on the two most relevant initiatives for Europe. Inspire, or the infrastructure for spatial information in Europe, as an example of an SDI, and OpenStreetMap, or OSM, as a VGI project. We have multiple purposes in our work. The core of the work will be on a comparison between Inspire and OSM for all these characteristics, so the overall approach of the project, the spatial scope, the structure and encoding of the data, the way to access the data, and licensing. And we will try to highlight the differences and to highlight also the pros and the cons of the two. Then we will make a review of the availability and the maturity of Phosphor-G solutions specifically developed for Inspire and OSM. And finally, we will draw some conclusions and start a discussion on how we can integrate and take the most out of these two initiatives. We decided to give this presentation in a combined way. So from now on, there will be a kind of a ping pong between Alex, the Inspire man, and myself, the OpenStreetMap alternative. So please, Alex.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So I will be talking about Inspire most of the time. As I think most of you have already heard, if you didn't know before, the Phosphor-G conference, Inspire is a pan-European, it's a European piece of legislation, a directive, which has this overall objective of establishing a European spatial data infrastructure. So for all 28 member states of the European Union. And this is quite a complex task. Think only of the diversity that we have here in Europe. Think of all the languages that we speak in the European Union. We speak 24 languages. There are three alphabets, and you can imagine the diversity and all the challenges that it brings. And if we want to bring this data together, which makes full sense, provided that this is essential for environmental policies, environmental phenomena, as we know, usually no borders. So wildfires, floods, environmental hazards need harmonized data on a continental, if not sometimes global scale. So this is what Inspire is actually addressing for Europe. It provides a comprehensive framework for the interoperability of spatial data and is put in place in order to support the informed policy making process. It's not new. It entered into force in 2007, and we see it a lot at the Joint Research Center where both of us work, as that it is important because it is creating a process that is unlocking increasing amounts of geospatial data and is also relates to the change of a mindset. So public sector authorities that work under Inspire really change the way in which they work with data. We did some preparation, of course, for this talk. We looked into the Inspire infrastructure with the objectives to see what we will find also for Bucharest. What you see here is a recent orthophoto of the city. And there is also an archive available within the Inspire infrastructure.
Okay, so what is OpenStreetMap? I think most of you already know. So this is a project started in 2004 by Steve Coase to create a free and open database of streets, actually, in London. So this is why it's called OpenStreetMap. But after only a few years, the idea was so successful that the project already extended from UK only to the whole world and from streets only to basically anything. No? So it's called OpenStreetMap, but actually the output is not a map. The main output is a database, so it's a geospatial database of vector features. Although, of course, the most popular output of the project is probably the map that you can just see at openstreetmap.org. This is just this map actually centered on the place where we are now.
So let's start comparing things. We start with the overall approach. So Inspire as a directive is a top-down initiative, so it's legislatively defined. But at the same time, there is a community which is established, so there is also this bottom-up movement. But in any case, we see it more as a top-down approach, provided that it's a piece of European legislation. In scope, as mentioned, public sector data, and then there is this process also for transposition. So the European directive is being translated into the legislations of all the European Union member states. So the directive itself is a relatively short piece of text, and then each of the member states has declared on the national level how they intend to implement the directive. To just put some numbers behind this concept, if we look into Inspire, we currently see within this infrastructure more than 7,200 data providers to have contributed already data sets. And we see also an upward trend. We see those numbers growing. So we see more and more data made available, more and more services made available. There is a community of implementers, of users in Europe, and we have an annual conference. I use the opportunity to invite you. In Helsinki, we will have a technical event in October, where we will be discussing implementation issues and value-added applications that sit on top of Inspire data. Next year, in May, we will have the annual conference in Dubrovnik, so you are again very much welcome to join us there.
Okay, so OpenStreetMap is the opposite, of course, is a bottom-up initiative. If you ask me how many people contribute the data to the database, the answer is more than 1 million. But the number of registered users, so the users who created an account, which is mandatory to contribute, is much higher. It's 5.5 million. Look at the blue line here. 5.5 million. So this means there are a lot of users, people that actually create an account but do not contribute. And this is actually typical in crowdsourcing projects. So it's also observed in Wikipedia. But this is another story. So governance. In OpenStreetMap, the project is supported but not controlled by the OpenStreetMap Foundation, which is a not-for-profit organization, providing legal support to the project, promoting fundraising to ensure its sustainability and managing the servers. It's organized into a board and several working groups dealing with specific aspects such as communication, vandalism, licensing issues, and so on. Very important to say that the data is not owned by the foundation, but is owned only by the contributors. We also have a very strong community, of course, and again, like it is in Inspire, also the OSM community meets annually in a dedicated event. It's called the State of the Map. This year will be in Heidelberg, so I took the chance to invite you all in Heidelberg from 21st to 23rd of October, so very close. That's a picture of State of the Map 2018 that took place in Milan, in Italy.
Okay, thematic scope. Inspire has to do with environment, so that there are those 34 spatial data themes that cover, as you can see, different aspects that relate to each other and to protecting the European environment. Don't see them as silos. Those are distinct data themes, but there are lots of horizontal linkages between them. The reason why there are those linkages is because Inspire has, in a collaborative manner, developed different data models that are reusing the same data types, same concepts, and same principles. So that is why the idea here is that those can be reused, the data from those different data themes can be reused in, for example, a cross-domain use cases or in cross-border use cases. And then there are also, it's an object-oriented modeling that has been followed in Inspire. So there are roughly 340 spatial object types with a particular sets of attributes that can be extended if needed to meet particular use cases. And there is also spatiotemporal data, so it's not only spatial data, there is data data from sensors is being considered and is included, as well as historic data, so spatial objects that do not exist anymore in the physical world out there, but fall within the scope of Inspire.
Okay, OpenStreetMap, as I said, was started as a database of streets only, but then it evolved into what is today the richest and the most diverse geospatial database available. As a matter of fact, any object having a physical position on the Earth and being verifiable can be added to the database. So the result is that the spatial scope of OSM is in general wider than Inspire, but historical events such as environmental observations, as well as objects that do not exist anymore in the physical world, cannot be added to the database, as well as for all the raster data. Orthophotos, for instance, are available in Inspire, but not in OpenStreetMap. There is actually a list of all the spatial object types available in OSM. This is maintained by the community and available on a wiki page called the Map Features. This is just the link, and this is just one small screenshot of the page.
Data structure. This is partly an Inspire conference, so every partly an Inspire presentation. Sorry, so every Inspire presentation has to have at least one UML diagram inside. So I checked the UML diagram box. It's the reason why the UML is there is not because you need to be reading it. Definitely not. But in this particular case, but the idea here is that Inspire is based on a conceptual model of the world, and which is being expressed as UML. And then from this UML, we can derive different encodings. We have the default encoding, which is GML in the case of Inspire, understandable because the directive entered into force 12 years ago. But there are also newer, different alternative encodings for Inspire data, GeoJSON being one that was recently developed, and there is some work already ongoing about GeoPackage. So we can start from the same conceptual model and derive different encodings depending on our preferences, our particular use cases, and the requirements of our stakeholders. There are certain central components as well. There is a registry which maintains sets of different code lists, different values that are being reused by the different data models. This registry also addresses issues such as multilinguality. It stores persistent identifiers of different components of the data models. And then there is a validation process as well. So the idea is that data providers encode their data following the requirements, and then they have this opportunity to check their services, to check their data models. They get confronted against a comprehensive set of validation rules.
Okay, in Inspire, in OpenStreetMap instead, the data model is based on a flat data structure, so this is one of the main differences. So this means that in OpenStreetMap, any object, so whatever is the kind of object, can be only described by an element which specifies the geometry, so only three types, nodes, ways, and relations, without entering the details, and then any element has one or more tags which specifies the attributes. These are always simple attributes just based on key value pairs. So this is a big difference because in Inspire, There's an object-oriented model, so we have predefined object with a predefined set of, let's say, attributes. In this case, you can define anything by just one element and any number of tags you want. So it's a flat data structure, so this allows any GIS client to basically handle OSM data without the need of specific functionality or transformation. Although the original encoding of OSM is still XML-based, this is just a node representing an address. Tags are flexible. This is another big difference. So there is this page documented, maintained by the community with a list of tags or properties of the spatial object types. But in principle, contributors are free to introduce or to use new tags. As a consequence, we don't have in OSM a reference validator, or an official software that validates and gives compliance. We have a lot of validation tools, which either check for geometry or topology mainly, or for tags. But they check things like that deprecated tags are not used, or conflicting tags are not used together, and so on.
Coordinate reference systems, of course, considering the European territory, there are specific two-dimensional and three-dimensional CRS that are defined, but there are also mechanisms which are currently in discussion within the Inspire community for making data available in other coordinate reference system. The requirement there being that those other coordinate reference systems need to be publicly available, and there should be the opportunity for conversion from one of those to the ones that are already defined beforehand. In terms of OpenStreetMap, considering that one of the biggest, if not the biggest use case is web mapping, we have the WGSA 84, no three-dimensional component there. So in a way, there is CRS compatibility is intrinsic with regard in the case of OSM. Data access, we have many ways of accessing Inspire data. The whole infrastructure is strongly influenced by the international standards, the OGC standards in particular. It follows, there is a service-oriented approach where data sits usually close to the data provider, and then the different services are being harvested. There are the so-called network services in Inspire for the discovery, so metadata for viewing WMS, WMTS, and for downloading atom feeds, WFS, SOS, and web coverage service. Inspire is also looking into the new ways of the newly emerging OGC standards, the newly emerging APIs. And then we have the central Inspire GeoPortal, which is the single access point to the whole infrastructure. But it is, again, one of many perspectives. Open data catalogs harvest Inspire data. There are national GeoPortals that expose it. So there are many ways of really getting hold of the content.
In OpenStreetMap, again, the picture is very different. First of all, we don't have metadata catalogs because metadata are mostly already included in the tags, and typically data search and access happens through the tags. Apart from this, there are several ways to get OSM data. The easiest one is from the OSM website by just using the export button and then selecting a region you want to download. Then we also have APIs in OSM. There's the OSM API, which is the main one. This provides read and write access to the database, so it's also used by the editors to actually write data. It's not actually recommended for massive downloads. There's the Overpass API, which is typically used through the popular web interface Overpass Turbo. This is just a query to extract the museums in Bucharest. And then there's also this quite a new product, the OSM platform developed by the great team at the Heidelberg University, which also allows to access the history of the data, because OSM also provides not just the data itself, but also the history. So information on which user edited which object at which time. If you want to download the whole database of the whole world with or without the history, you should download these two files, the planet and the full history planet. As you can see, several tens of gigabytes. But there are also companies and organizations providing predefined extracts of OSM data, which means predefined spatial object types, only buildings, only land use features, and so on, usually in user-selected formats and user-selected coordinate reference systems. License is also a point of difference because, first of all, in Inspire, the directive does not mandate the use of one specific license. The picture, the result is that the picture is very heterogeneous. So member states are using different licenses, sometimes licenses that are really custom and expressed in national languages. And only a portion of the data is actually open access. In OpenStreetMap, instead, license interoperability is, in a sense, intrinsically ensured because all the database is available under the ODBL, the Open Database License. Actually, this is true only for data contributed after 2012, because before there was CC BY SA.
In terms of tools, there's a rich ecosystem. I think we all recognize the majority of the logos here. So there are many ways of implementing all the different aspects. And data providers choose depending on their particular use cases. So no one single solution.
Okay. In OSM, again, OSM by nature has stimulated development of open source software, while Inspire has also stimulated development of proprietary software. What we can say here is that, as I mentioned before, the flat data structure actually allows OSM by default to be used in any GIS software, but there are still some specific software developed to work with OSM data, mainly for clients, as you can see here, mainly plugins. What are these doing? Basically, they are using the APIs to automate the download of OSM data in the software, or they are just retrieving OSM tiles from the OSM server or third-party services, as in the web clients.
So let's discuss a little bit. As you see, immediately those two different initiatives are quite different, as a matter of fact. And we were not going to argue which is better. From our point of view, it clearly makes sense that they are used together. And this would benefit a large spectrum of stakeholders, ranging from public authorities, professionals, businesses, researchers, and so on. I think the example was pretty clear, what we showed you for Bucharest. We can have the vector data, for example, from OSM, but then there we will not see the orthophoto imagery, which we can get from Inspire. So combining those in any of our open source or proprietary tools would really benefit a lot. And there are also things that one initiative can learn from the other and vice versa. So yeah, and in any case, because we are the FOS4G conference, it is important here in this context to highlight that there are mature solutions, and they are very often the same solutions that can be used in order to consume Inspire and make use of Inspire and OpenStreetMap data, and it's is regarding searching, transformation, encoding of the data, processing, spatial analysis. And so on. There are still some isolated case studies where we see the Inspire and OSM data being merged, but this would need additional attention. Those cases need to be studied in addition. In the end of the day, yeah, effort is required, but yeah, it is important to highlight that from a user perspective, very often the user does not really care where does the data come from. If it satisfies the particular needs, then users are happy. And this is where we want to arrive with this integration of OSM and Inspire. Thanks. There is a nice article written by Marco, myself, and our colleague Michael Lutz. Check it out. And then we use the opportunity, you or me,
yeah,
to...
Maybe let's leave first a couple of minutes for questions, and then we can, well, let's leave a couple of minutes for questions. In the meantime, you can read the screen. So thanks again. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Okay. Really very nice stuff, guys, Dan. Just one comment and one question. Comment goes for the licensing. Just forgot that thanks to GRC, currently there is ongoing activity to allow filtering of Inspire open data. So hopefully in the next near future, users will be able to to filter the stuff from the Inspire already under the Open Data License, which is a really good initiative. And I was wondering whether you already heard about some use cases in the member states where if there are no data available meeting the Inspire specific themes requirements from the public sector, if there are some efforts, for example, to provide these specific themes from the OSM to the Inspire infrastructure. Thanks.
Thanks for the question and the comment. Regarding the licensing, this is we're trying to help by identifying, but there was a study which showed that there are more than 800 different types of licenses in Inspire, consider the different languages and the situation. So we're at this stage now where we want to really benchmark and see what is the situation and then identify what is available and discuss in a bilateral manner with the data providers about missing licenses or things that can possibly be improved. On your second question regarding the use of OSM data as a substitute of Inspire data, I personally don't know of such an example because I think public sector data has often this legal meaning behind it, authoritative, quality stamped, and so on. But the other process we see data which is from the public sector authorities that the public data provider has considered it valuable, and we see these contributed into OpenStreetMap. And then Spain is a good example in that case. But as our concluding slides said, there are very limited examples of this interplay between the both, and we would gladly, together with Marco, dive into looking into studying, but this would need more effort.
Thank you, Alex. I would close the session here unless there is one very short question. Okay, thanks a lot. This is just a reminder about this Helsinki event that Alex was mentioning at the beginning. We have kind of a hackathon style for this event with the so-called data challenges. Any team of developers or technical people can still apply by the 8th of September, and there are prizes and benefits worth more than 20,000 euros. So have a look at the website, and you have still some time to apply. So that's it. Let's wait for other 3-4 minutes, and then I invite the next speaker to prepare for the presentation. Thank you.